I just want to tell you something about Paul's team. Paul had a team of workers. He was very, very strict about who he got onto this team. I mean, if you got onto Paul's team, it was like the highest honor that you could think of in Christian circles, to be one of Paul's team. He was very selective. He read one man that wrote a speech called John Mark, who after one trip got a little, found that too tough, and he went away. Paul said, I'll never take him back onto my team again. He was so strict. He would not have any half-hearted compromises on his team. And Paul was a person with great discernment about who we select. And we read here that there was this disciple of Acts 16:1 called Timothy. And we are told something about his background. Thus, his mother was a Jewish woman who had become a believer. But she married a Greek. Now that means that she disobeyed God's word when she was a young girl, because the Jews were not allowed to marry the non-Jewish people before they were not Christians then. They were just Jews, and they were not allowed to marry non-Jewish people. If you married a non, you were cut off from God's people. So she must have been a backslidden Jewish young girl, went and married a Greek man, who probably was a businessman. They're just spiritual things, just making money. You know, like some women, their husbands are only interested in money in this world. This poor woman was backslidden, much narrated. And now she's come to the Lord. And she's got a child. And I have a feeling that when she saw this child and saw the worldliness around, she must have gone to the Lord to not forgive me for my backsliding that I stripped up when I was a young girl. But I want to make up for that by bringing up this little boy in a godly way. And I reckon that he must have been 19 or 20 years old. And Paul took him, verse 3, with him and said, I want you to be part of my team. Can you imagine this strict Paul, who could discern people and see people through and through, selecting a young man who was 19 or 20 years old? You know, like God selected David when he was 19 or 20 years old. God selected Joseph when he was 17 years old. Selected Samuel when he was a little boy. And God selected Jeremiah when he was a little boy. There are a lot of cases in history of God selecting small people before they're 20 years old. God's laid hold of them. It's really amazing. And so the fact that God all could select this young man tells me something about his mother. Something like Moses' mother. That she had brought him up so well, even with a Greek worldly father. Imagine if you're a godly woman and your husband is thoroughly worldly, only interested in the world, and you have a child, and you bring up that child in such a good godly way that the Apostle Paul says, he should be on my team. Oh, you want to take your hats off to that mother. She must have been a fantastic mother. None of us have any excuses. They didn't have a Bible in those days either. I mean, the Old Testament was there in the synagogue. The parchments were very expensive. You didn't have one in your house. And here she was. And what did she impart to the child? It was not just knowledge. Very often today, parents impart knowledge to their children, which is good, Bible knowledge. But here we read in 2 Timothy. Now we go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And Paul says in verse 5, I am mindful, 2 Timothy 1:5, of the sincere faith which was first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. So the grandmother was a God-fearing woman and tried to bring up her daughter in a good way, but somehow she ended up marrying a Greek man. But anyway, she repented, and so she Eunice, the daughter, got faith as well. But the point is, it is a sincere faith which was in Timothy's mother, Eunice, which he passed on to Timothy. Not knowledge. He says, I've seen the faith, Timothy, that was in your mother. And what does that mean? How did Timothy get faith? He says, I'm sure you got the faith inside you, which was first in your mother's heart. and now it's in you. Now, how do you put faith into your child's heart? Bible knowledge, we can put into their mind if they are clever and intelligent, just like you teach them mathematics or history or science. You can put the facts of the Bible into the mind of a clever child. But how do you put faith into a child's heart? That's much more difficult. And the important thing that, you know, it's good to teach our children the Bible and all that, but to put faith into their heart is much more important. And that is why, you know, when you read the Bible, you know, for example, if you tell them our story of Jesus going through the storm, storming it, I mean, that's great to see, to tell them a miracle that Jesus stilled the storm. But to relate that to practical daily life and say to your child, see, we can also face difficulties like that. Small things, big things. Some little problem may come in your school when you're studying with other children, or some other bigger problem in the house. There's not enough money, or we have to vacate our house and find another one. So many problems can come in life, or we get a sickness suddenly that's unexpected. It's like a storm, Timothy's mother would have said. What should we do, Timothy? Trust God. Remember how Jesus stilled the storm? Do you remember in all the Gospels, there was never a storm which he could not stop. So let's trust him. They would pray over that problem they faced, and little Timothy learned from a very young age, 3 or 4 years old, that when there's a problem or a storm, I must pray. And then something else happens in some other situation, some sickness or some other problem or anything. Timothy, let's pray. And they'd pray and they'd see how God wonderfully solves that problem. So we should not pray, Lord, take us through life without any problems. Whenever I see a person who's gone through life without any problems, I can tell you a person who's got zero faith. He doesn't need faith. He's got enough resources in his bank and with his friends to take care of all his needs. Why does he need God? He doesn't need God at all. He has no problems. But some other person who's faced all types of difficult problems, trusted God through them, they have something that's solid inside them that lasts for eternity. And they can communicate something to their children. So it's not only the children of rich people who have no earthly needs or problems. Very often many of them don't grow up to be godly. They're just normal Christians who just sit in a church and ease their conscience that they're born again, as they call it. Useless to God and useless to man. We should not want any one of our children to grow up useless to God and useless to man. Not even one. If you have 10 children, all 10 must be profitable to God and profitable to man. And the way to train them up is teach them to trust God in the trials of life. And so if you have trials when your children are small, praise God. Praise God. There's a challenge. There's a storm that's come into our home. And we're going to trust Jesus to still it. A little child grows up like, even if it's a small little thing. So son, did you lose your pen somewhere? Let's pray to Jesus. I mean, a pen costs hardly anything. But to teach that child to pray, Lord Jesus, please help me. I lost my pen somewhere. Can I find it? Or mommy says, I lost my misplaced like keys. Timothy, can you help me to pray? You pray and ask, Jesus, help me to find my... It's not the most important thing in the world, but to teach our children to pray for every little thing and big thing. Not just when the house is on fire, but small little things. And little by little by little, faith came into Timothy's heart. That is the thing that all discerning man that he was could say, hey, here's a young man. He's not just Bible knowledge he has. So faith. That's the type of man I wanted my team. I think I would have considered it a tremendous honor if God selected me or any of my children to be Paul's team. That's how Timothy's mother felt. She let him go. And Paul's team prayed, this is what I brought you up for, Timothy, all your life. This is what I long for you. Not that you should become a millionaire, but that you should be a servant of God in Paul's team. So she longed for that. She didn't. There wasn't any hesitation in my heart, because this is what she wanted, that my child should grow up to be a witness for Christ on earth.